Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iov, Perek Tes Vav, the 15th Perek. Eliphaz now begins what's going to become the second round of debate between Iov and his friends. And Eliphaz, as the first friend to speak, makes some very, very important points. But he's also incredibly unkind and accusatory. In other words, we're essentially saying that Eliphaz is winning when it comes to questions of the head, but he's certainly losing when it comes to questions of the heart. And we're going to have to hold both of those realities as we read through the Perek. Remember, according to Eliphaz, the reason why Iov is suffering is because he sinned. Also remember that we said last round that according to the Rambam, Maimonides, Eliphaz is the correct answer. In other words, Eliphaz has what to say about suffering, which is on a higher standard of anything else in the entire Sefer, according to the Rambam. And even though we don't traditionally follow that perspective, we still understand that Eliphaz seems to be on a higher standing than any of his other friends. He has some sort of nevuah or prophetic vision, which the other friends do not merit to experience. And later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Eliphaz as kind of a representative of the two other friends, being higher, being more authoritative than the others. Either way, Eliphaz now begins his speech. And Perek Tes Vav begins with Eliphaz turning around to Iov, and he says, and I'm going to read Pasuk Gimel, Hochech bedavar lo yiskon, umilim lo ya'ilbam. We're talking about this matter, but we're getting no joy out of it. We're going on and on, but we're actually not benefiting. We're going nowhere. We're talking around in circles. We're arguing about who's right, but neither one is actually winning this debate in any way. Not only is this an entirely pointless experience, right? And nobody is winning, but more than that, Pasuk Dalet, Af Ata Tefer Yira, you're also removing fear maybe from your own mind, but not only that, V'tigra Sicha Lifnei Kel, and you are also reducing conversations before God, which the Metzudas David explains, you are causing people to stop davening. Remember that Iov is a very influential person. He is a leader. He's perhaps even a king at the time. And if he's turning around and blaspheming in the way that he is, this is having an influence on other people. So Iov, not only are we having a pointless debate about who's right, but you're actually damaging permanently people's understanding of our Kaddish Baruch Hu. And you're causing them, if God is not involved in our lives, if there is no Hashkacha, then why should anyone pray to Hashem? And this is what you're doing. You're causing people to no longer daven to Hashem. And as we said, his words are so harsh. Pasuk Vav, he says, Yarshi acha picha velo ani. Your lips, your mouth is what is showing you to be evil, not me. In other words, he's saying, don't say that the person who's saying that you sinned is me. It's not just me who's saying that you sinned. You are sinning. Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. The filth and the kfira and the total hypocrisy that's coming out of your mouth, that is sinful. You're the one who's causing yourself to prove to everybody that you are a sinner. You don't need any of my help. Sfasecha ya'anubach. Your lips, your words are what's ultimately going to cause you to be in deep trouble over here. The next two psukim are very interesting, and there's a couple of different ways of reading them. Pasuk Zayin tells us, Harishon Adam Tevaled, which really means like the first person who is born in the world, right? Rishon Adam, like Adam Harishon. Ulifnei Gva'ot Cholalta, and before, as in time-wise, before the creation of the hills, Cholalta, you were formed. And yeah, the way the Malbim reads these psukim is as a question, right? Harishon Adam Tevaled, were you the first human being to be created? Were you actually created before everybody else, before the whole of reality? In other words, like chutzpah, for you to come along and think that you're the first human being on the planet to think that the world's unfair. Habasod Eloka Tishma, did you hear the secrets of God as he's consulting with the Malachim and deciding to create man? V'tigra Elecha Chochma, and did you take some of the wisdom away from him? Were you the one who turned to God and advised him how to create the world? You, Iov, are a tiny, minuscule human being in the bigger context of things. How on earth could you possibly think that you have an understanding of the world that goes back to Adam and that's wiser than Adam? And so he says, and so he continues again in this like shocked tone of, you know, how could you say such terrible things? He says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Ma yikachacha libecha. What in your heart is compelling you to say that Hashem doesn't care and that there's no free choice and that there's no trias amesim, etc., etc.? Umayar mizun einecha. And what are you picking up on in your in that that's convincing you to be as compelling in this, especially right in the in light of the fact that you're such an incredibly bad influence, right? You're a bad influence. And what's going to happen? Pasuk Yud Gimel, ki tashiv el kel ruchecha, when your soul returns to Hashem, v'hotzeita mipicha milin, and these words you're going to put before him. Now it's easy for you to be a heretic because God's not before you. But one day at the end of your life, your neshama is going to go back to Hashem, and you're going to have to face him and tell him all of these horrible things you said about him. And that's going to be very difficult to do. And Pasuk Yud Dalad is really going to go back to Eliphaz's entire worldview. So far he's ridiculed and criticized Eov for his bad hashkafas. And now he says, and remember why you are suffering, Eov. Remember Pasuk Yud Dalad. Ma enosh ki yizkeh. Who is a human being who's purely righteous? V'chi yitzdak yeludisha. Can any human being be fully righteous? It's okay, Eov. Admit that you've sinned. Everybody sins. You sinned. It happens. What can we do? It's part of life. Stop being so convinced of your own righteousness. And that leads him essentially in Pasuk Yud Zayin to say, Achav chashmali v'zech hazisi v'asapra. Listen to what I have seen. I have a nevuah, and I know that you questioned my nevuah, and you said my nevuah wasn't actually true because you didn't receive it and it was regarding you, but it was a true nevuah. Listen to what I saw, and I will tell you what it is that I saw. Pasuk Yud Ches in your test, there's multiple ways of reading it. We're going to try look at three. Let's try read the psukim simply, and then we'll try see how this fits in with the flow of the perek of what Eliphaz is trying to say. Pasuk Yud Ches says, Asher chachamim yagidu, wise people will tell, v'lo chichachdu me'avosam. And these wise people have never withheld that which they have heard from their forefathers. Lahem levadam nitna aretz. Them alone, these wise people alone, they were the ones who received the land. Velo avar zar betocham, and no foreigner has passed amongst them. The Metzudas David, and the Ramban actually reads it in a similar way, essentially says, just like a wise man has heard a Masorah from his forefathers, these wise men who are telling you something, it's something which they heard from their forefathers and their forefathers, and forefathers don't lie. And people, when they pass on precious information to the next generation, it's going to be something which is absolutely factual and very, very accurate. So too, right? V'lo avar zar betocham. There's no foreign information that's being passed down. It's just pure truth. So too, what I'm about to tell you is pure truth. In other words, this first reading means that Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes is simply an introduction to the main point that he's about to make about Tzadik V'Ralo. We're actually about Rashi V'Tovlo. The way Rashi reads it is very beautiful. Rashi says, who are these chachamim? The chachamim are the wise people who yagidu, who tell what? Who tell when they've sinned. Who admit to sin, people like Yehuda, people like Reuven, those people who don't hold back from their forefathers and they admit to their forefathers their sins, lahem levadam nitna aretz, those are the people who are going to inherit the land and nobody else, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them for admitting the truth. And here this is a very direct criticism to Eov to say, do teshuva, Eov, no, just admit that you sinned. Stop being so self-righteous and just go bend the knee and say, I apologize, I did something wrong. Remember, the Malbim's whole take on Sefer Eov is that Eov believes that there's no Bechira. So here he's going to say, Eliphaz is going to respond to Eov and say, no, there is Bechira. Why? Asher chachamim yagidu v'lo chichdu ma'avosam. People choose. They're not forced by their forefathers. They're not compelled by their forefathers to believe what they believe. They choose their own beliefs. Lahem levadam nitna aretz. The whole land is placed before them and they can make their own choices. V'lo avar zar betocham. There's no external force compelling them to choose. People do have free choice, Eov. Free choice is real. So three different ways of reading this. Either it's an introduction to the main point, it's a beseeching him to do teshuva, which was Rashi, or it's a, once again, referring back to Bechira and an understanding of the fact that we have free choice. From here on out, the rest of the perek, from Chaf onwards, is going to deal with the issue of tzaddik, of Rasha v'tovlo, why wicked people prosper. And even though this was dabbled with in various parts of the Sefer up until now, this is really where it's given an entire big chunk of psukim to deal with. And as we read through the psukim, I'd like to ask you, the listener, if you think Eliphaz is talking about Rasha'im, or if you think in a veiled way, Eliphaz is actually talking about Eov, and pointing a finger at Eov and saying, Eov, you're that Rasha. Let's take a look. Pasuk Chaf continues, and he says, Kol Yemei HaRasha, all the days of that wicked person, what does he do? Hu mitcholel, he trembles. Umispar shanim nitzfunu la'aretz, and all of the number of his years, which he has been allotted to be powerful. In other words, and this is really going to be the main point that Eliphaz makes in this parak, it looks like a wicked person is prospering. Trust me, he is a mess. His life is a mess, and he's terrified. What is he terrified of? Let's see. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Kol pachadim ba'aznav. There is the sound of fear in his ear. B'shalom shoded ya'avienu. As there is peace, he's terrified that someone's going to come and attack him. He knows he's a Rasha, and he knows that God is good and righteous, and therefore someone who is delving deep into wickedness is a person who is going to be consumed by terror and fear, or maybe we can use a word we're more familiar with, paranoia, that God is going to get him at the end of the day. He never has tranquility because he's in a constant state of fear. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Lo Ya'amin Shuv Meni Choshech. He doesn't actually believe that he will return from darkness. He thinks that the end of his life is going to ultimately be darkness. V'tzafuyhu Ale Cherev, and he looks forward to his life, and he thinks he's going to die by the sword. He's going to get it from Hashem. Noded hu lalechem aye. He wanders around for bread, but where is that bread? He eats, but he's never full. He's never satisfied. He's constantly terrified. Yada ki nachon b'yado yom choshech, because he knows that at the end of the day, he is going to get punishment. And these psukim continue to describe how scary it is to be a Rasha. And why? Because Pasuk Chaf Hei, Ki Nata El Yado, because he has stretched out his hand to God. He has fought against God. He has made Hashem unhappy with him. Ve'el Shakai Yiskaber, and he has made himself mighty over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we ask ourselves, as I suggested, remember Eov. Eov was a person who lived constantly in fear. Eov was a person who was constantly terrified that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to get him for doing something wrong. That's why he was constantly checking his back. And maybe this is a very not so veiled criticism of Eov to say, see Eov, I can prove to you that you were Rasha. Look at how you behaved towards God when you had a great life. You weren't happy. You weren't satisfied. You were scared. That's typical Rasha behavior. You're like a Rasha. Right, Pasuk Chaf Zayin is also a difficult pasuk to translate. There are a couple of ways to read it. Let's see how we go. He says, Ki kisa panav b'chelbo. He covers his face with fat. Why is he covering his face with fat? He is saturated in materialism. He has a good life. Vaya'as pima ale kasel, and his rolls of fat kind of form mouths, like openings, right, all around of his ribs. That's the one way of reading it. The Malbim reads it as not ki, because, meaning he is engulfed in physicality, but ki, despite the fact that he is covered in wealth and in physicality, and he is incredibly indulgent, despite that, v'ya'as pima ale kasel, God will make a mockery of him at the end of his life because of his silly thoughts that show that he was never happy at all. And what will happen to this person who seems to have a great life and he seems to be eating good? Lo ya pasuk chavtes, lo ya asher, v'lo yakum chelo. He will not get wealthy, and his sword, and he will not get up. He's not going to be successful in battle. V'lo yitel aretz min lam, and his produce will not turn to the earth. It's not going to get great. He's not going to get saturated, and he's never going to actually achieve what he likes to give off airs of achieving in his life. And the last two Psukim of the Perek really give us a sense of the destitute nature of this Rasha. It says, "Ki adas chanef galmud," the congregation of this faker. The word chanaf was a word that Eov used to describe his friends as being like the flattery that they give God. But here it seems that Eliphaz is accusing Eov of doing that. And who is the congregation or the chevra of this flatterer? Galmud. Galmud is loneliness. Galmud was a word we used at the beginning of the Sefer when Eov says that the day he is born should be full of loneliness and isolated from all the other days because he blamed his zodiac for the reason why he's suffering. So here, Eliphaz is recalling that same word and essentially saying that you, Eov, are a pretty lonely man now. You've lost your children, you've lost your life, because a Rasha might look like he has everything going for him, but at the end of the day, he is lonely. And this reminds me of the story of the Purim story, when Haman, when he seems to be doing very well, it describes all of the people coming to him. He's got his wife, and it says, V'chol ohavav, and all of his friends. But after they begin to see the downfall of Haman, they no longer are referred to as Ohavav, his friends, rather they are his counsel, because you have no friends when you are on the downfall from your wickedness. And even though they seem to be nice and chummy to you and friendly to you and you're doing well, it's nothing. Just like you think you have children and a family, but Hashem will chop it all down and you'll land up with nothing. Ve'esh achla ohalei shochad. The fire of God will eat up or consume the tents of bribery. Hora amel v'yalod aven, someone who is impregnated with futile efforts, someone who is impregnated by bad means, will ultimately give birth to sin. This is kind of the same thing as what you reap what you sow. He's saying essentially that. Ubitnam tachin mirma, and in their bellies they prepare trickery and deception. This is the life of the Rasha. He's got bad stuff brewing inside of him, and he refuses to admit to his wickedness. Instead, he continues to move in a direction in which he's trying to do well and do better, but he's becoming more and more paranoid, more and more alone, more and more miserable, and nothing is actually giving him the satisfaction which he so craves. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachyomi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael v'Rachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.